Wars fan.
Welcome to the Bark Wars Podcast, celebrating and exploring all things Star Wars in the Disney theme parks across the galaxy.
R2, lightspeed to Endor!
We're two of the most interesting and creative entertainment companies in the world. And so when we get together, we have a lot of fun.
Hey!
May the Force be with you.
It's just a fantastic combination of using technology and telling great stories.
I'm afraid we've all just joined the Rebel Alliance.
Earlier today, I was talking to my boss, and he said I should always call people by variations of their first name, almost put together in kind of a fun way. So our employee, Tyler, he said I should be calling him Ty Ty, which made Tyler really happy when I actually attempted to do that. So based on this logic, I should be calling you Tan Tan.
Mm-hmm.
How does that sit with you?
I don't really care.
You don't care what I call you? How's it going tonight, Tan Tan?
Good.
You ready to start the show?
Mm-hmm.
All right, everybody. Welcome to the Park Wars Podcast.
Exploring Star Wars attractions and adventures in the Disney theme parks across the galaxy.
This is show number 18 for the week beginning May 15th, 2016. Hopefully everyone is having a fantastic middle of May week. You're already yawning. Time to wake up. This week we decided to keep on our regular podcast time, so the two-year-old is down. We won't have any Star Wars ABC interruptions this week, but that does mean we're recording a little bit later at night, and after a nice busy day, it's easy to be tuckered out. But that's okay, we are fired up, we've got some energy, we are ready to talk all things Star Wars and Disney theme parks here on the Park Wars Podcast. Tanner, how's the week been?
Good.
Good, good, good. Anything major going on for you?
No.
Just surviving another week of high school, right?
Yep.
All right, so we've got some goodies in store for you this week. We are going to have another debate, which I'll introduce here in a few minutes. We did this a few episodes back, as Tanner is a high school debater and I'm a high school debate coach, it can be sometimes fun for us to get into things. And another Star Wars topic is a brewing. And we have a new segment this week where you're actually going to get to ride Star Tours with us. And we can provide you our commentary of that ride configuration. If that doesn't make sense, just stay listening and we will walk you through it. It should be a lot of fun. So, Tanner, you ready to get going with some news?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
The transmission. Now what?
Star Tours 1401, you are cleared for departure.
Not a huge news week this week, but there are a few things that popped up on the wire in pertaining to Disney theme parks and Star Wars news. So let's go them. First, let's go through them. Boy, if I can even talk this week. Let's start over on the East Coast this week with Disney's Hollywood Studios. Now, there are still not a lot of pictures of construction that we have gotten from Disney's Hollywood Studios. Everyone seems to be focusing on Disneyland, and I know that they're doing a lot of work behind the scenes to prep the areas for demolition, but just not a lot of visual stuff going on over there yet. Hopefully we'll see some stuff soon. But we did see some maps online for a new vehicular entrance into the park. A lot of headlines are saying it's a new entrance to the park, as in, you know, when I think of entrance, I think where I walk through the turnstiles. Not exactly true, but it is a new way for vehicles to get in. If you check out the maps, I'll put links in the show notes. But traditionally, people have come in from the north. That's kind of the biggest entrance into the park. And then there's a road just barely to the south of the park that allows you to come in as well. It's going to make a lot of sense to have that south road go away because they need that land for Star Wars land. But they do have something in mind which will put people in, you know, kind of cutting a road in to the parks so that empties into the parking lot on the east end of the park. So it should actually speed things up getting into the park. It should be a really nice addition. And I don't know how long it's going to take to build something like that. But the plans are definitely out there and they look kind of cool. Now, here's one, Tanner, you'll find interesting.
Mm-hmm.
We were also caught rumors this week that there are plans afoot to allow people to use the Force while in Star Wars Land in the Disney theme parks. Think of this similar to Sword in the Stone, the attraction over in Fantasyland. You know, kids can pull on that sword all day and not get anywhere. But all of a sudden, at one point in time during the day, somebody will, you know, behind the scenes hit the button or whatnot, release that sword, and some kid will be like, whoa, he has that magic power. So they're guessing something similar like that is going to happen in Star Wars Land, where, you know, people can try to use the Force, and at some point in time, some kid somewhere is going to be able to actually use the Force to do things, whether that's lift a ship or, you know, have it react in some way to people. But a lot of opportunities, they say, are going to be there for people to actually use the Force. Thoughts?
I think that'll be cool.
Now, sometimes people consider this similar, and this is why I'm not at all surprised that there's talk of this or plans going on. But over in Harry Potter, in the Wizarding World of Harry Potter in Diagon Alley, they have a whole interactive wands feature where you can go and you can get an interactive wand and use it to cast spells. You know, in the windows, there are different things that will come alive. There's all sorts of spells you can cast all over the place. And people have a lot of fun because it takes this fictional world of Harry Potter and it makes it more real through these interactive wands. And so, granted, I don't know what they would use as a trigger. You know, in Harry Potter, you have the wand. I don't know what you'd have in Star Wars. Maybe they can give you like a Luke Skywalker style glove.
Maybe.
Put this glove on your hand to look like Luke Skywalker, and then you can use the Force. I mean, I don't know. They need some sort of a trigger to kind of kick off the events or, you know, what they have planned for it. But a lot of fun potential in really trying to make that area come alive. Any other ideas, Tanner, on how they could use it?
Just kind of what you said. Yeah. I don't know.
So, anyway, there is a lot of talk of using the Force. And if you, as our listeners, have an idea as to how you would like to see the Force used in the theme park setting, by all means, shoot us a message and let us know what that is. We'd love to hear from you. And then finally, in the news this week, construction permits were filed for the demolition of the Fantasyland Skyway building. Now, this is controversial for a lot of core Disneyland fans because the Skyway Station is kind of, you know, it's one of the like original elements of Fantasyland. It's got this history. Now, granted, it's been closed for a long, long time. I believe since 1994, it's been sitting there closed. You can't even see it anymore. It's just in the trees behind Fantasyland. You'd have to know where it is to spot it. But as soon as the construction permits were filed for the demolition of this, a lot of people are like, hey, what are they doing? And you know what? It's old. It's falling apart. It probably can't even hold people in it anymore. It's so rustic. Sorry. I want to be, you know, sensitive to the feelings of the nostalgic Disneyland fans, but at the same time, that puppy's got to go. So, in the coming weeks, the Fantasyland Skyway building is going to be going away. Lots of pictures online of that thing. Lots of pictures of the Skyway back in its heyday when we used to be able to, you know, go up and soar over Fantasyland and, you know, spit our gum down at people, which is probably one of the reasons they closed it. But not that I would ever do that. But may have tried that a few times, at least at my home park, you know, my just run-of-the-mill amusement park in Denver, Colorado. Good old Elitch's. Lots of fun memories from that place as a kid. But boy, being a kid on the Skyway ride, I can understand why they would want to close that thing down. That's just problems waiting to happen. Although I don't know if you remember this, Tanner, when the last time we went to Lagoon in Utah, they still had a Skyway there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you remember riding that thing?
No.
Okay. I've got video of you riding that thing. But yeah, luckily, granted, you were sitting with your parents who would not let you do anything stupid on the Skyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, fun times. So that pretty much wraps it up for the news. I mean, that's not a ton going on, but a lot of different rumors are starting to circulate about Star Wars Land. It's getting exciting, especially as we're watching dirt start to move. And speaking of that, let's talk construction updates. Always fun to look at the pictures as they come in each week. Again, like I said, from Hollywood Studios, we really don't have anything because either there's no demolition going on yet or the demolition is happening in a place where fans can't see it or get to the areas like we can in Disneyland. Luckily, we've got the nice parking structure right next to where they're doing the demolition. So easy to pop up on that top story of the parking garage and get pictures and video and all sorts of stuff on a regular basis. So that's why we tend to talk about Disneyland a little more than Hollywood Studios. But there is stuff going on in both places. But as far as Disneyland goes, we're seeing something interesting happen. So I will post pictures in the show notes so that you can follow along with us at parkwarspodcast.com and then look up this week's show and you can see the pictures. But here is kind of the latest stuff going on, Tanner, for the construction. Blah, 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 blah. So here's the latest picture of what's been going on as far as the construction for Star Wars Land. And, you know, again, you can see that the backstage areas are pretty much all completely gone. There's still the access road that cuts through the middle of it. Just more clearing happening. The berm in some sections is completely down. You can see straight into where Big Thunder Ranch used to be. But what I find really interesting is just over the last month, this area back here, if you can see where I'm pointing on this picture.
Yeah.
This area was flattened nothingness. I mean, they had it just down to dirt, as you would expect for a construction site. But look at the pile of dirt that's there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is kind of where we'd expected a show building to go, and that is a lot of dirt.
Yeah.
That's like three stories tall pile of dirt.
Mm-hmm.
And for the life of me, I can't figure out what in the world. I mean, it looks like they're sculpting the dirt. It's, you know, granted, they've got to have a nice impact so they can get tractors up there. And also keep in mind that just from still photos, I can't see, you know, what the movement of the tractors is. I don't know if they're just pushing the dirt from the berm temporarily into this spot, which is kind of what I'm thinking is happening. I don't know if they're bringing in dirt at this point in time, but you can see both here and the building in front of it, or the area in front of it, they're just building. There's tons and tons and tons of dirt. And I'm not exactly sure why that is. Now, again, my speculation is the fact that the berm is coming down. They know they're going to need that dirt. They don't want to get rid of that dirt. So they're just pushing it temporarily back because the very first thing that they've got to do in this whole project is reroute the rivers of America, which they've, you know, they have it all dug up now, but they've got to actually put the new river in, re-sculpt the backside of Tom Sawyer's Island, and get all that stuff ready to go so that they can put in, you know, the new bridge and stuff for the train, get all of that ready to go, and then build the Fantasmic show building, which they kind of have the land cleared in the middle. That's kind of their first priority because they have that all scheduled to reopen, I think, April 4th of 2017. And there's a lot to do to have that ready. And then once that's done, they can then put the berm back, which will free up the dirt from these places to start building these buildings. But I don't know. I'm not a construction expert. I'm just looking at pictures every week and trying to figure out what it is that they're doing in those spots. Any ideas?
I think that they're just saving the dirt so they don't have to buy more.
Yeah. I think it's just temporary. It's just, I mean, again, take a look at the picture in the show notes. It's a lot of dirt. And we'd heard, you know, one of the first things that they've got to do before they do anything is dig foundations and, you know, do rebar and plumbing and all that kind of stuff. And that's a lot of dirt to be dealing with if you're starting from the bottom and working up. So I'll be curious to see where that big pile of dirt goes. I'll be curious to see if in the foreground picture, if that whole section of land also gets filled with dirt as well. But you gotta love it. We're talking about piles of dirt. All right, so that's pretty much it. We're watching Dirt Move. We probably will be for quite a while, but always interesting to see exactly what's going on, and can't wait to be there next month at the end of June to take some pictures of Disney's dirt myself. Good times. So, what say we yell at each other?
Let's get ready to rumble!
All right, now as I mentioned at the top of the show, Tanner and I do enjoy debating each other from time to time on certain issues. Now, granted, in high school debate, I'm usually coaching the whole, you know, idea of debate, and we're usually talking, you know, politics or world events or that kind of thing. But it is fun for practice to talk about more pop culture-y things. Tanner has discovered the world of Lincoln Douglas debate. He enjoys one-on-one debating because he can control his own universe without relying on a partner. So every once in a while, we're going to have a debate. And this is something we're going to do here on the show. Now, if any of you are familiar with high school debate, don't worry. We're not going full debate rounds. We're going to have this really short to accommodate the needs of the podcast. But first of all, what we need is a topic. And based on what we announced last week, it was announced there's a new person hired to play young Han Solo in this Han Solo movie. Now, as I expressed last week, I'm excited for this movie. I think it's a great idea. Tanner's not fully on board yet. So the topic, or I should say the resolution that we're going to be debating is this. The Han Solo movie will be a quality addition to the Star Wars cinematic universe. And I apologize for borrowing language from the Marvel movies there, but now that we have Rogue One opening and, you know, things happening outside of the Skywalker family movies, we kind of have to have a better name for all things that encompass that. So, once again, the Han Solo movie will be a quality addition to the Star Wars cinematic universe. I will be arguing affirmative, which means I'm arguing to support that resolution. Tanner will be arguing negative, which means he's trying to prove that resolution false. We will do this. Tanner, are you listening for the times? Mm-hmm. Okay, so we'll each have a 2-minute time period to present our case. Hopefully we won't talk too fast so that you can understand us as podcast listeners. After we each have those 2 minutes to present our case without the other person interrupting, we will have a 3-minute cross X, or time to ask each other questions about our case so we can better understand them. Then we will each have a 2-minute opportunity to rebuild the case that the other person supposedly has just, you know, torn down. And then we'll each have a 1-minute rebuttal. So, you know, all in all, this is a great way to discuss the subject in, you know, 10 to 15 minutes. So, all you Han Solo fans here, we're going to kind of see how this all works out. And then at the end of the round, you guys can let us know who you think wins based on the arguments that we bring up. So, being the one who's arguing affirmative, Tanner, I will be going first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All ready to go there. Got your case ready. Now, I'll be using my timer. When we hear R2-D2 go, we'll know that our time is up. Any other final questions, Tanner? Nope, he's giving me the thumbs up. He is ready to go. And with that, I will begin now. Welcome to this debate. Today we are arguing the Han Solo movie will be a quality addition to the Star Wars cinematic universe. Now, before we begin our round, we have to make some definitions. So I'm going to define the Han Solo movie as the movie directed by Chris Miller and Phil Lord that's opening May 25th, 2018. I will define quality as adding to the Star Wars canon in a fun, entertaining, epic way. And then finally, as I said earlier, I'm going to define the Star Wars cinematic universe, to borrow the phrasing from Marvel, the movies that make up the Star Wars films. Now, I'm going to argue this with three, possibly four contentions, depending on how much time I have. First of all, contention one, I believe that the movie is in good hands as it's being written by Lawrence Kasdan. Lawrence Kasdan, keep in mind, he was the writer of the Han Solo films. He has done The Empire Strikes Back. He's done Raiders of the Lost Ark. He's done The Force Awakens. He has done a whole bunch of great quality movies, and he is the authoritative writer for Han Solo. He knows his expressions. He knows how he does things. And so with him being in charge of this film, at least the writing of it, this film is in good hands and will be a good, fun, quality addition to the Star Wars Cinematic Universe. Contention true, too, excuse me. I trust completely Kathleen Kennedy's producing ability and quest for quality entertainment. She's not let me down in her films. Star Wars, Indiana Jones, E.T., Gremlins, Back to the Future. Just if you go and Google a list of Kathleen Kennedy produced films, you can see all the stuff which she is able to produce. So I believe that this film, under her direction as a producer, is in great hands. Finally, contention three. The film is going to be marketed alongside Star Wars Land, and Disney's not going to allow a non-quality film to tarnish all of its efforts so far and to really derail the marketing of Star Wars Land. This is going to be a good film. Disney's going to make sure it's good. Lucasfilm is going to make sure it's going to be good. And I have my faith in those people. And with that, I vote a strong vote affirmative. All right, now once again, Tanner, it's now his turn to argue the negative side of things. Again, you got 2 minutes to present your case as to why you are the correct one here. You ready to go?
Mm-hmm.
All righty, I will start writing stuff down as soon as you start talking.
All right. I am on the negative side of the resolution. The Han Solo movie will be a quality addition to the Star Wars Cinematic Universe. I'm going to start by going into my first contention, which is kind of an argument to yours, and goes into your definition of quality, meaning that it'll be fun. This movie is going to be more frustrating than fun to watch, because the new actor they have is never going to be able to completely and qualitatively replace Harrison Ford. There's going to be differences in his face that is going to be obvious to everybody who's really close and attached to the character. There's going to be just noticed small differences in the face, the way he moves, all these little things that we know this character so well that all these things are going to stand out a ton to us, and anybody watching is going to be able to pick them out really quickly and easily. So it's going to be annoying to kind of see this different person, and it's going to be hard to link this person with the character that a lot of people love and are very attached to. My second contention is that Disney is most likely choosing this character for the money, because they looked at characters that a lot of people like and they saw him, and so they thought he would be a good choice to make the most money off of another movie, as they're trying to pump out as many movies as possible. So that seems like the only reason they would have picked this. And from this, it ties into my third contention, is that social media so far has had all negative reactions to this kind of movie, because most people are angry about new actor. It's not going to be Harrison Ford anymore because he's too old now, and so they'd rather just have a more reasonable character that fits the age and is still the same actor, such as Obi-Wan, Mace Windu, any of these people who we know their characters very well and their actors are also still alive and in a good age where we can attach their faces and movements and everything still to that exact character because they're the same people who played them in their original movies. Most of the biggest problem is that it's not Harrison Ford, because we need Harrison Ford back, or else it's not really a good idea to do another Han Solo movie.
All right, we got 3 minutes of cross X. Let's chat. All right, so just tell me real fast, what is the title of your contention one?
More frustrating than fun.
Okay, the title of contention two.
Just want money.
Okay. And your title of contention three.
All negative reaction so far.
Okay. So let me ask you a quick question. Let's look at a quick list of films that were produced by Kathleen Kennedy. It doesn't count for those films that you have not seen yet, because you have no personal reaction to those. But of the ones that you have seen, and I'm talking Star Wars, E.T., Jurassic Park, Back to the Future, any of those lets you down as a viewer?
Let me ask you a question.
You didn't even answer my question.
Well, this will be answering the question from your point of view.
You're
instead
going to answer the question with a question.
Donald Trump taught me anything.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
How many of these movies are about a pre-existing universe and about a very specific character within it? How many of these are sequels about a character that's really old, so they have to cast a new person to play an old character that a lot of people are attached to and love?
Okay, so how does that answer my question?
How many of these movies are like that? So how can you base this upcoming movie off of old movies that are not similar to the one they're creating right now in any way?
I'm saying that Kathleen Kennedy has...
She's produced a ton of good original movies.
She has.
And now she's working on one about a pre-existing character in a pre-existing universe, which she has to try and make and fit in all these categories that people are going to be wanting to have just right to all their ways that they envision a young Han Solo to be. And if it doesn't match everybody's, then there's going to be a majority mad because everybody sees him differently.
Okay, so let me ask you this then. Why does the reaction to strangers on social media matter?
To strangers on social media?
Yeah, well, you're reading social media. You're reading all these opinions from people. Everyone's entitled to their own opinion. Why does everyone else's anger about the Han Solo casting or the Han Solo movie matter?
Because that's their audience. And that's the people that they need to try to be wanting to like this movie.
In regards to the Han Solo movie being a quality addition to the Star Wars cinematic universe, and by quality I mean adding to a canon in a fun, entertaining, epic way, why do their opinions matter? Shouldn't it be about what you think of the movie when it comes out?
In a fun way, so far it hasn't been fun for any of them. It's just been frustrating.
Okay, do you base your enjoyment of a movie on how they make the movie or what you see on the screen?
Both.
Even though you can't tell how they're making it because they're not releasing any information to the public at this point in time?
You can still tell how they're going to make a movie.
How?
Well, you can tell by watching it if something's fake or not.
All right. That was a quick 3 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm up. All right, so now in my speech, I have the chance to really tear his case apart and figure out what my arguments are against it. Okay, my time has started. So in the speech, like I said, I'm going to go through and talk about his arguments and why my side is correct. So first of all, let's start with your contention one. The movie is more frustrating than fun to watch because of the actor hired to play Han Solo's role. Again, I'm going to go back to my point where I completely trust the people that are doing this film. The person that they hired, he was picked out of 2,500 actors for the role. Also, he came with a handwritten recommendation from both Steven Spielberg and Francis Ford Coppola. I trust these people. They are good quality historic filmmakers. They know what they are doing. They're not going to purposely put in a bad person within this role. So based on my trust of these people, I think that this contention completely falls. Yes, there will be a few differences. At the first couple of minutes when you're being introduced to this character, it might be a little bit weird, but once you accept him in the role as Han Solo, these things are going to go away. Just like they did with Kirk when they cast the young version of him in the Star Trek films. A little bit weird at first, but once you got used to him as Kirk, you completely forgot about it and it was fine and the movie still worked and was fun. And your contention too, Disney is choosing the character for money, not for fun. I completely disagree with this as well. The reason that they decided to go with a Han Solo film is because George Lucas himself said that he wanted this to happen. This is one of his ideas that he handed off when he sold Lucasfilm to Disney. He said, I want a young Han Solo film. And George Lucas, his ideas with Star Wars as the creator of all of this have worked. So I trust George. Finally, in contention three, social media reaction is negative. Yes, I agree. We do want an Obi-Wan movie. We would love a Mace Windu movie. However, social media reaction is everyone else's opinion, and those opinions should not matter. It should be about you and what you want from the movie. And so I still think that this is going to be a fun addition to the cinematic universe. Thank you, R2. So, this is now Tanner's second speech. This is his opportunity to tear down my case, in addition to what he did during the cross-ex. And so, Tanner, when you're ready, go ahead and start.
All right, going into my dad's case. Firstly, he defined quality as adding in fun, epic, and exciting ways, and none of his contentions at all have anything to do with that. His first one was that it's in good hands, which isn't fun, epic, or exciting. His second is that it's going to be trusting Kennedy's abilities, which is similar to his first one. And his third contention is that Disney won't release a bad film, which also doesn't really have anything to do with how he defined the whole resolution. So therefore, using that, all three of his contentions fall through and don't really count. But going back over kind of into them in more depth, His first one is that it's in good hands, and that's just like he's using with all the other people's opinions. This is just an opinion of his, and he's basing this opinion on all old movies that they made with original characters that didn't have a past and weren't already attached to and loved by lots of fans. He used the example of Captain Kirk, but he never even really watched or really got attached to the Star Trek movies to be making an opinion about being able to adapt to a new Captain Kirk, because for him it was just going in and seeing a new Star Trek movie, which he never really watched the originals of anyways, to have an issue with trying to adjust to a new Captain Kirk. His third contention is that Disney won't let a bad film ruin the Star Wars land stuff going on, and yeah, they probably wouldn't want to do that, but they've already started the movie and they won't know how people are going to react to it. They're just hoping people are going to like it. And he was bringing up that George Lucas wanted them to make this movie, but that also is just showing that they're pressured into making this movie, and that even if it wouldn't be a good decision for them to be doing it this time, they are feeling pressured to do it, and like they have to do it because he said so, and because they think that it's going to be good and a good money maker. And for these reasons, I urge a vote in the negative.
All right, awesome job, Tanner. So now we are into final speeches already. Here we go. I have now, where we each have 1 minute to wrap it all up and to really sell our point, have it come across to you. So with that, I'm going to get started. Time has started. All right, so quickly going over your arguments here. You had mentioned that contention one was an opinion of mine. And I would say, yes, it is an opinion of mine, but it's also an opinion of casting directors. And again, Francis Ford Coppola, Steven Spielberg, and all the people working on this film, Kathleen Kennedy, they all chose this guy to play Han Solo. And I believe that because of that, it is going to be a fun, entertaining, epic style movie. Finally, or secondly, in contention three, you said that we're just hoping people will like it. They will like it, because once they make that transition to this new guy playing Han Solo, and they see the Millennium Falcon, and they see Chewbacca, and they see all these different elements of a Star Wars film, they are going to get completely lost in the story. They're going to have a good time. It's in good hands, and this is going to be a lot of fun, a good movie to have as a Star Wars fan. I can't wait to go see it, and I can't wait to see what happens as they produce it. And with that, vote affirmative. You have 60 seconds to wrap it up, and you get final word.
Mm-hmm.
You ready?
Yep. Going back over the resolution, the Han Solo movie will be a quality addition to the Star Wars cinematic universe. Firstly, your whole case does not match up with any of the definitions you presented at the beginning of the round. Secondly, your whole thing is based on the opinion that you have, and then a quality addition to the Star Wars cinematic universe would count the opinions of everybody, so you can't base the qualityness of it being added to the cinematic universe off of just one opinion, which would be yours. You'd have to look at all of them, which, going back into my social media contention, looks like the majority of people are very negative and not thinking that this is a good idea to add into the Star Wars universe. It's been more frustrating. There's been negative reactions. Disney's forced and pressured to do it just to try to make money, and because George Lucas wanted them to. And like I said earlier, none of your contentions really go into your the way you define the resolution at all. And for these reasons, I urge your vote in the negative.
Alrighty. R2? Okay. Nice job. So here's what we need. You, as our listeners to the Park Wars podcast, we need to hear your opinions on this. Do you agree with me that the Han Solo film is going to be a good quality addition to the Star Wars universe that we have? Or do you agree with Tanner that this is kind of filled with troubled spots, pretty much based around the casting of the film? Let us know your thoughts. Definitely email us, steve@parkwarspodcast.com or tanner@parkwarspodcast.com. Contact us on Twitter or Facebook or any of our other social media, and let us know what you think. Which side of this argument are you on, and how do you feel about the debate, the great Han Solo debate?
Well, well, well. What have we here?
How are you? You look familiar to me. Have I scanned you somewhere before?
Now, just turn us around this instant before we get into trouble.
On your ship, one loyal to our cause you carry. Deliver him you must, or all will be lost.
So now here at the Park Wars Podcast, we have a new segment we're going to try this week. See what you think. And this one is cool. Now, in the past, we've talked a lot about the future of Star Wars and the Disney parks as far as this big, you know, Star Wars land that's coming. But sometimes we forget that there's a lot of cool, awesome Star Wars content in the theme parks already. Now, everyone's favorite Star Wars attraction is Star Tours. And so what we're going to do is we're going to allow you to ride Star Tours with us. But how this works, granted, we're not in the theme parks, but we do have all the audio up from all the different iterations of Star Tours. And as people know, Star Tours is a random ride. And so it randomly picks different scenes that you can do. And so we're going to do that very thing. So Tanner, here you go. I'm going to have you roll the dice. Now, before you do that, let me just explain the chart. Because we're going to do this for a few weeks until we ride the different variations. So first of all, in the opening of Star Tours, you have one of two different openings you can pick from. There's one where Vader comes out and attacks you, and there's one where the Falcon leaves the hangar bay. So that's the one of two there. Second segment, there are four different options. We've got Hoth, Tatooine, Kashyyyk, and Jakku. Now, granted, Jakku has been kind of playing automatically for a lot of people because that's the newest one and that's the one that everyone wants to see based on The Force Awakens happening. They don't want to go and risk, you know, catching one of these other openings, but Jakku's playing a lot. But there are a bunch of others as well, and we want to experience those. So once you get out of that segment, you go into hyperspace, and then you get a message. And there are four different messages you can receive. One from Admiral Akbar, one from Princess Leia, Yoda, and BB-8. And then you go into the next phase of it, which could be one of three things. Coruscant, Naboo, and finally the Death Star. So what's going to happen is we are going to, just like the ride does, granted I don't know how the ride does it, but the computer picks the random sequence, we're going to roll a dice and figure out which section we're going to go on. Then we're going to play the audio and we're going to comment on it. Now, just one thing I want to add here. When we hear the word commentary, often that means like a movie commentary that goes exactly right along with the movie. You can listen to it. We don't intend for you to take headphones in and listen to this while you're on the ride because A, our random picks would never line up with the ride you happen to be on. And we reserve the right to stop at any point in time and talk about it just for a minute as we experience this ride with you. So you'll hear the audio in the background, so you'll be able to tell where we're at. But first of all, let's pick our destination. So Tanner, you got that dice? Mm-hmm. All right, so roll that dice. Give me either an odd number or even number, and that will determine. Oh, nice. All right, so we got even. So Falcon departs. Da, 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 da. That will be our opening. Okay, here you go. Don't check into the depth. All right, so now this is for... Woohoo! You got a one, which is Hoth. Okay, so that's our first planet. Next, we're going to go into hyperspace, and we're going to be visited by who? Ah, you hit the hard drives. Two, Princess Leia, okay. And one more. This is for our final destination. Oh, cruddy. Yeah, okay, you almost spilled water on the hard drives. Okay, two again. Naboo. All
right.
Okay. All right, Tanner, we're just getting ready to board the ride vehicle. The Star Speeder is coming up for us to port or to enter the dock. I'm so excited for the ride, I can barely talk. All right, here we go. Doors are opening. We are now boarding. What do you say, Tanner? You ready for this ride?
Yep.
All right. Now, granted, if this were a real ride, we wouldn't know the sequence that's coming our direction, but the sequence is already determined. All we'd have to do is load into our seats, and at this point in time, the ride is going to select who the Rebel spy is and get everything ready to go. We've checked our seatbelts. Here we go. C-3PO always surprised at the beginning to... suddenly realize he's in the captain's chair.
this thing.
Oops. So the hangar, the doors opened, we're sailing through, and suddenly, hey, there's the Falcon in front of us. And stormtroopers. Hold it right there. Oh, he's knocking on the window. Are you the Rebel Spy again? You've been the Rebel Spy before.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how they always pick you for things. Alright, Falcon is getting ready to take off. Love all the number of stormtroopers that just suddenly fall over based on our exhaust. Alright, here we go. Winding through the Star Destroyers. Arr, TIE Fighter. C-3PO, granted he can't wait himself, he's a droid, but he is freaking out right about now. R2's making the jump to light speed. Here we go, people. And coming through, we are now headed to Hoth. It's suddenly getting cold. Why is this a restricted area? Apparently we were flying into a combat zone. Lots of different things happening here. Now, hold on, we're going to stop real fast right there. Because I've got to mention that a lot of people get confused during this ride. Because technically, based on what we've heard so far, this is taking place between, what, episode 3 and 4?
Mm-hmm.
And yet, we are coming right into the middle of the Battle of Hoth. R2-D2 and C-3PO are with us on this ride, yet we know that they're in the Battle of Hoth. So how does this all make sense? From a timeline point of view.
Mm-hmm.
So this is one of the things that they really struggled with, and they eventually had to decide to just kind of throw the timeline out the window and really just focus on all the different elements that would give us the most fun ride through a Star Wars universe. So don't get hung up on the timeline, people. I understand R2-D2 and C-3PO are with us. We are in the Battle of Hoth, but we can just have a good time anyway with it. So, ride, start back up. Oh, foot. We're knocking down. Whoa! Almost got hit by that falling adit there. And now, why is there a cliff right next to the battlefield? Couldn't we have, like, lured some of the AT-ATs off of this cliff and lost them into this trench? I don't remember this from the movie. Okay. We bounce off the bottom. Oh, nope, nope. Now we're falling through the snow. We're receiving a transmission. Who is it by again?
I am Princess Leia of Alderaan.
Princess Leia?
We've placed a rebel spy vital to the survival of the rebellion into your star speeder.
Now, stopping right there. One of the things I do find interesting here is the fact that this audio sounds just like it came from episode 4. If you look at Internet Movie Database and look at the credits for Star Tours 2, The Adventure Continues, you'll notice that they give credit to Carrie Fisher for that role, the speaking role. That's not Carrie Fisher. Apparently what happened is they brought Carrie Fisher in to record the dialogue for this section and tried to match her voice, but I mean, Carrie Fisher today and Carrie Fisher from, you know, back when she was 19 sound nothing alike, so they weren't able to match it. But they did find Julie Dolan and they had her give the audio a shot, and she did a fantastic job. In fact, she did such a good job they brought her back for Rebels, which she voiced Princess Leia in that episode of Rebels as well. So just a kind of a fun nod there. But she just, when you see the footage, and this is original footage from shooting episode 4 of Princess Leia from the hologram, they found the clean original footage, but the voice matches up perfectly, and kudos to the quality that they employed there. That said, let's get back to the ride.
Coordinates I'm transmitting to your R2 unit. This is our most desperate hour. Help me start tours.
You're my only hope. Oh, hey, C-3PO just said that too.
What do you mean? We'll be making a slight detour.
We are making a detour. Remember where we're going?
No.
See, just like the ride.
Naboo.
Coming out of hyperspace now and to, whoa! Trade Federation cruisers, vulture droids. Is that little Annie? It's Lil Annie and Nabu and one starfighter. Good to see Nabu, even though we're being blasted out of the sky right now. And into the water. Hope you brought your scuba gear. Can you imagine if they'd actually hit Jar Jar Binks right there? I think that would have been funny, but probably would have freaked out a lot of kids, because kids still love Jar Jar. Strange readings. Okay. We're flying. We're swimming through the depths. We got fish eating us. There's always a bigger fish. I always like this moment when this big fish just grabs you and just starts shaking the heck out of the ride vehicle. Oh, you ain't seen nothing yet, 3PO. And here we come towards the hangar. The doors are opening nicely for us, just like your local supermarket. And, oh, I love this effect right here, where it looks like the tip of that ship is just about to smack you right in the face. Excellent, excellent quality 3D in this, all throughout. C-3PO, you are a horrible driver. Alright, so there you go. There was our first ever ride-through of Star Tours with us. Next week, we will roll the dice again. We will see if we repeat sections, if we get different sections to talk about, and we can continue to talk about this ride because there are just so many different things. And hopefully, at some point in time, Tanner will roll a 4 so we can actually get to Jakku, because I would love to see the new sequences there and talk through those. But we'll have to be extra nice to those dice to give us that lucky random draw. So, again, hopefully you've enjoyed our little ride-through of Star Tours, and let's ride it again soon. So, Tanner, what do you say we close out the show?
All right.
How do people connect with us here on the Park Wars Podcast?
They can email you, steve@parkwarspodcast.com, or me, tanner@parkwarspodcast.com.
And remember to send us notes as far as who won the great Han Solo debate, so we can put that to rest. Carry on, Tanner.
We're on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Park Wars Podcast. And you can find us on iTunes or Stitcher to rate the show and subscribe.
That's right. So definitely, when you're on those sites, leave us a review. Let us know what you think. That helps iTunes and Stitcher determine that we are an actual quality, legit show that people are listening to. So make sure you leave us some reviews there. So we can help spread the word about the Park Wars Podcast to all of these Star Wars Disney fans out there who are interested in all of this, you know, either speculative types of stuff for what's coming next for Star Wars Land, or behind the scenes types of stuff, which we'd like to go into as well. Just always fun doing commentary and analyzing the Star Wars universe, especially in regards to our favorite place, the Star Wars theme parks. So by all means, connect with us and let others know about the show. Anything else you'd like to bring up this week, Tanner?
Nope.
All right. Everyone have a fantastic week. Thank you for listening. May the Force and your safe Disney travels be with you. And, as always,
light speed to Endor!